Mr. Vorst, just real 12. You say you stayed on the Garry for a while after the armistice. Yes. How long was that for?
Well, and I suppose, can't say exactly that, but when the war finished, I would be somewhere about 2 months, and we left the ship.
Now, then you would go to barracks, would you?
Well, yeah, I went to barracks.
So that'd be round about January 1919.
That's right.
And here, were you doing the same general duties as you'd done every other time at Chatham? Or was there anything special about it?
No. All I can say is that we'd fall in every morning at 8 o'clock and get working parties to go and do jobs, help the people, those in the, in where they messed and all that sort of thing, you see. It was, went sweeping up and things like that.
Did you ever think of leaving the Navy at this time, or did you just...
No, I never thought of leaving the Navy, no. Because I thought, well, I don't know any... I didn't know any kind of work except in the Navy of firing a gun or making a gun, repairing it. I never had anything else.
So, where, in February, you got a posting. Now, where was that to? Could you just tell us?
Yes, to HMS Antrim. But it wasn't very long.
Back to the Antrim then?
Back to the Antrim, but I don't think it really put down. There was the dockyard men working on board, and all you had to do was to stop them. All we had to do was stop them smoking down below and things like that, you see. You know, they weren't allowed to smoke. They were allowed to smoke, right, but not down below decks and anything like that. We was there just to stop that. And I didn't stop very long on that, because I walked into the Chatham Barracks and I get the dinner at dinner time for dinner, because we didn't get our meals on the Antrim then. You see, we was working party. I walked into there and I went and had a look at the drafting board. And on it was volunteer wanted for not a special ship, but a part on the east coast of Africa, African coast. And do you want me to tell you? I went and saw what this job was. It was to a river class. Small ship that went around these places on the African coast to keep the people in company and all that sort of thing. It just simply went from one place to another. But as it happened, I was put aboard I asked for this job, and which would have been on the west coast of South Africa. Oh, well, Africa, not South Africa.
Ship would it have been? Do you remember its name?
No, I would. There was half a dozen out. I'd have gone to one of them.
But what happened?
When I was put on the. Now then, the 2nd of January, that's right, the second day of January, I was put on a train with a good many more to go to Portsmouth, to Tilbury and pick up a liner that was going out to South Africa. And we all got on board, and somebody was about 20 of us, 20, I think about 20 of us, POs and chief POs and troops. Oh, and two Marines. Oh,
what rank had you got at that time?
I was able seaman.
Still able seaman, yeah.
I was there. Then we left Tilbury and went from Tilbury to the to go to the Cape. Oh, we didn't touch any English port after leaving Tilbury. We went in the got to Tenerife and the, what are them islands? There. And we stopped there for about 6 hours and moved again on to, oh, I can't think of the name now, where, not the, they're all on their own. So it was in them days. I can't think of the primitive name now.
Doesn't matter for the moment. We'll come back.
It was an island, Ascension Island. Ascension Island. And there we stopped there, and just two men were detailed for to go there, and two to come off. And take them back to take them down to South Africa. And we left the Ascension Island and to St Helena. I had a day there, or nearly a day, and went ashore and enjoyed, bought one or two things. Then the next thing was went to Cape Town. Now, on arrival at Cape Town, I was detailed for one of these ships on the west coast, but they couldn't. The officer in the naval part of Cape Town, well, he said, "I cannot do anything." He said, "You'll have to go to the Birmingham," and I was sent to the Birmingham with others. Well, there's more others well there, but not what I was down there for. And when I got down there, went aboard the Birmingham, and we was asked all this and that, and what we why did we come there, and why did we go there, and all this sort of thing. And we told them all about the liner and bringing us down to here. Then they said, "Well, you'll have to stop here on board the ship until a liner comes to take you up to the west coast." Well, that liner never came, and I volunteered to stop on board the Birmingham, which was granted, and I was a part of the ship's company then. Well, they was Portsmouth and I was Chatham, but at any rate,
did that cause any friction?
It sometimes it does, but not with me, not with you, because it seemed that we quite enjoyed ourselves. And then I...
What were you doing on the Birmingham?
I was an able seaman, see, and I was on the forecastle part of the ship. And, that was what I used to do every day, was scrub decks and all that sort of thing.
Was it the usual routine that we've discussed before?
Yes. Practically the usual thing they do down in Antrim. And Berwick and all them others.
Was it any different after the war? Had things got more relaxed or stricter?
Well, things got stricter, if anything. But it seemed to be that the Birmingham, well, she was a flagship, Lowestoft and a couple of small ones, was all good together. There was four of them. Two small gunboats and two cruisers, and we seemed to be all right all together. And I stopped on board the Birmingham until the time came for the ship to be sent home to Portsmouth and to be either repaired or broken up. Well, I came home on honour, and I was a Chatham Rain, but as soon as we got to Portsmouth, I was taken out of the ship and sent to Chatham Barracks.
So that would be in May 1921?
Yes.
So back into barracks.
Back into barracks.
Usual routine. Yeah. It was round about now you were promoted to leading seaman, wasn't it? Was that while you were in?
No. I went from the Birmingham to the Cleopatra, which was just anchored, moored rather, in the Medway. And C&M party, care and maintenance party. And then the Birmingham was brought round, and she was tied up alongside of us, and I went, like, you know, back to the Birmingham, as the saying was. No need to it, just simply go aboard when we was alongside, or stop aboard the Cleopatra. Well, then, after I'd been aboard the Birmingham about 6 months, I think, she was, the Cleopatra, rather, since aboard the Cleopatra, she was sent to Dublin. And we was guard ship over there, because things was getting bad when they raided the post office and all that in Ireland, Dublin. Then we left, and
did you see any of the troubles?
No.
Didn't
we was
you.
Never touched. We never touched. It was the army that they didn't like. It was the army. We never know. We could go anywhere we like. And did you? I mean.
So you could go ashore without worrying.
Oh yes, yes, went ashore. Yes.
Do you know why they hated the army and not the navy?
Well, I know. I couldn't say, but it's been the same for years and years. You know, people prefer the navy to the army. Anyway, I stopped on board the Cleopatra when she came home, and not only me, nearly all the ship's company was taken into Chatham Barracks, and the ship that I was sent to then was the Bembo, a battleship.
What year was that? What year was that, or month?
1923, and I had special leave to get married, but not marriage leave. I had special leave for a long weekend. The 17th of February, 1923.
That's when you got married.
That's when I got married.
And
when I came back to the barracks, because my neighbour had gone for the Bembo then, see, and I put in for the special leave. It was granted. When I came back again, we all went, I think it was the second day, I'm not quite certain, but it was Monday. I came back on Monday, the afternoon, I came back on the, and that's on the Wednesday, we all went aboard the Bembo. And a very big battleship with 13.5 turrets, guns, and then, I haven't told you, first of all. On the Cleopatra, I passed for a leading seaman, and I got made a leading seaman before I went to the Bembo. I was made, I'd been, you know, good at work, the job I had in the Cleopatra, and I was recommended for a leading seaman. And then when the Bembo came along, I was promoted to a leading seaman.
How did life differ on a big battleship like the Benbow from anything you'd been on before?
Very nicely. That's right, providing you done your work properly. The thing is doing your work properly. The commander used to say, Lean Seaman Vorsius, sir, my special job, now you've seen a battleship of it? And the mast, above the mast is the control part. I had that to look after, keep it clean, and paint it with four other men. I'll tell you, when the commander would say, Lean Seaman Vorsius, sir, get your party and clean the foretop. And because at the same time there was a mast above that and two yard arms, and they had to be done, but they was only done when you asked them if they could be done, because the television being on, not television, the wireless, you see, you had to be careful. Well, I had that job for 2 years and 9 months. And I had the same four lads all the time. And when we was on our way home, and we arrived before you get to Portsmouth, can't think of the name.
Southampton.
No, just outside Portsmouth.
Devonport.
Hey?
Devonport.
No, that's Devon. No, that's Port. That's in the west. No, just my brains, you know. Just before you go into Portsmouth.
Okay then. Yeah.
Anyway, when we arrived there, we dropped anchor. The captain said to me, the commander said to me, well, I want that nice and clean because we're going up to Portsmouth tomorrow morning. And he said, I want it to look nice. And I got my four men and I did it. And because, as I say, you know it, you've seen it, it was pure white, lovely and white, and the mast above it. Because down below it was grey. The mast was grey down below. Anyway, on arrival at the Portsmouth, and I don't exactly know. No, we didn't go straight into dock. We just went alongside the dockyard at Portsmouth. And the commander sent for me. Lindsay Voices, yes, sir. He said, you'll be pleased to know that you've been promoted to a petty officer. And that's when I was made a petty officer there.
Before we go on to that, what other jobs did you have as a leading seaman on the Benbow?
Well, in charge of a gun, small gun.
Which one?
It was just a 12-pounder. But the other, in action, proper action stations, I was in the four turret. And it was the 13.5 turret.
What was it like working in one of those big turrets?
Hell. At any rate, you got used to it because
Why was it hell?
Well, it's you haven't got much room to move. You know, because you've got two twin, twin, what names, and that there, that's the rear part of them, and that's the same there. And you've only got to go up the kind of ladder, which is made on the outer, and then get straight down into it. You've hardly got no room to move. Because when they did fire them, you never had to be at the rear. Otherwise, you'd get smashed to the pieces, you see.
So where were you?
Oh, we used to get, as soon as we loaded, dip down under the two guns and get out the other either side till they was running. Then when they was fired again, back you come again underneath, open the engine.
Can you remember the firing routine and what your part was in it?
When it was just ordinary, well, there was the you had a there was one, two, three. There was like there was two turrets for it, two turrets aft. That's like twin turrets, you see, and single turrets. In the midships. And then when they fired, you see, and you fired all the lot of them, that's one, two, ten guns going over once. It was a bit hefty. But there was, you see, the two twins forward and the two twins aft. And one, just one, the single one, with double guns.
What was it like when this gun's fired?
You didn't want your ears. You wanted your ears covered up.
Didn't you have any protective?
No, just simply, you pulled your hat over her ears a bit more than what you should have done. But I don't know. You get out, got used to it in time. But 13.5, the 15-inch was the worst. We never had any. Well, wasn't no 15-inch on ours, but they say the 15-inch on the other battleships that were there was awful. The 13.5 wasn't the.
And did you have any other jobs as leading seaman on the Benbow?
Yeah. Oh, only like with the conning tower that. In part of the ship. In part of the ship that I was a forecastle. I had to help them when they were scrubbing the decks and all that, getting ready for painting and all that sort of thing. I had to do all them sort of things to help them.
So you were promoted to to petty officer, not chief, when you left the Bemba. What year was that? 1920.
1920. Yeah, 25. 1925.
And where did you go from there?
Into barracks. And well, the commander was in barracks. He went as commander when the ship paid off. He went into the barracks as commander of Chatham Barracks, not captain, but commander of it. And I, like we all went into the, and I happened to see the chief boatswain's mate, who was from the Benbow. And he was asked, he had a job in there, you know. I asked him if he got a room for me. So he said, well, he said, I'll see the commander. Because he went and saw the commander, and I got the job as the petty officer of the canteen. That was my job for a year, petty officer of the canteen. That you had who had somewhere about six ratings, and there were two for the petty officers, and chiefs and petty officers their place were there, then two for the lads to go and clean their place up every morning after the night previous, and we had that job of keeping them clean. And then
you were petty officer for the canteen, but what else did you have to do with the canteen?
I knew look after them.
Just keep it clean?
Just keep it clean. I said, went like, see that they done their job. Oh, and when there was, and when the beer, what name was open, only like the, I had to see that they drunk their beer and returned their glasses to the thing, and not to move outside and take any out with them. Then
was there much drinking? Were there many drunks?
Not many, no. They didn't know. They could have as much as they want, and then they would have to go leave. They know they would. If they did start a cause, they'd be soon put in a cell in Chatham Barracks. But we lived. I stepped up for a year, and I finished my first 12. So what I did was signed on for my pension. I went into the drafting officer, to the office, told them I wanted to sign for my pension. They said, all right, come down here at such and such a time and fill in your form and all that. Went down there, filled in the form. And I still had this job as a petty officer of the canteen. Then, one morning, when they went up, for submarines, and I said to them, I haven't volunteered for submarines. No, you're not likely to either, he said, because you don't know such thing as volunteering for them now. He said, because they are good, and they're easily useless to use them. I never had to sign on anything like that. I just simply went there, and the first one I went down to Gosport, where the submarines was, and then sent on to Devonport, where I had my first submarine, L-71. And
could you describe the L-71?
Well, it was an ordinary submarine, just nothing much with machinery. Nothing much with scenery there. So with a torpedo, yes, but nothing else, no. Guns, nothing else, just ordinary small gun that you could blow the as the saying is, blow the bullet out. Then I'd done my time in the, how to work in the submarine and how to pump out the tanks.
Could you tell me something about that then?
Well, you went through fancy you've got a submarine in front of you sort of it, and you've got to blow the tanks to surface. And what you had to do, put a hose in like in there, and open the place down there, start the what I'm blowing out, so that all the water was blown out, and then you had to close that one down to the bottom, and take the other one off up top. That's all that you had to do. You had to learn all the how to do them. And because when you went to your, when you went to diving stages, you, I was a second diver.
What did that involve?
Working with the same as the steering, and also the depth the submarine's in. I used to steer the submarine down to below, and because I was the second coxswain, the first coxswain would help as well, and I didn't do it all on my own. And then